Good morning, everybody. My name is Don. I'm one of your pastors here at Legacy, and it's great to worship with you this morning. We've spent the last 5 weeks looking at 72 disciples in Luke 10. 36 pairs of just everyday people Jesus sent out into the world on missionary journey in the towns that he would soon enter. Over the last few weeks, we've learned that if we are to follow in the footsteps of the 72, that faith comes first. That we must confess with our mouths that Jesus is Lord and believe in our hearts that God raised him from the dead. And that even though there are wolves and bears of crushing pressure all around us, that we need to get in the game, to go fearlessly in earnest prayer together and bring light into the darkness of the world around us. We saw the 72 impact the villages that they went into with simple acts of hospitality and, yes, food. Eating a meal with someone can change their lives, their eternal destiny, and their present life. Last week, Brandon told us that Jesus' purpose in sending out the 72 was to heal the sick and tell them that the kingdom of God was near. They are tasked with preparing a way for Jesus and the arrival to make people whole, to deal with their infirmities, their sicknesses of all times, and to leave this message by their actions, to tell them. But not all miracles need to be great ones like healing the lame or feeding 5,000 with just a few loaves and a few fish. Sometimes miracles come in small packages. Never discount the power of simple acts of kindness. Now today we're going to circle back around to where we began in Luke 10, verse 17. The 72 returned with joy and said, "Lord, even the demons submitted to us in your name." Now, the word joy in the New Testament Greek is chara, which means delightful happiness. Now, this theme of joy is very present throughout the book of Luke. There is joy when Zechariah and Elizabeth hear that they will have a son in Luke 1:14. The baby in Elizabeth's womb leaps as Jesus in Mary's womb enters the room in Luke 1:41. The angels are filled with joy as they proclaim Jesus' birth in a star-filled heavenly choir in 2:10. There is joy when we are persecuted because of the great rewards we'll have in 6:23. In Luke 15, there's this theme of joy that is witnessed when there's the three parables of the lost people, the animals, and the precious heirloom. The disciples return with great joy in Jerusalem after meeting the resurrected Jesus, the firstborn of a new era of humanity in 24:52. This is chara joy. This is the joy the 72 returned with after going out into this unknown and telling everybody about God. Today, let's explore the how-to. How do we live out this joy in every day to seek this fruitfulness, this fulfillment in witnessing? And also understand that there is joy to be gained in this daily evangelism, in these daily evangelism habits. I hope you've enjoyed the devotionals that have been coming out that went along with this sermon series. And as we read through these inspiring accounts of Luke 10, of the 72, Luke wrote that the teaching of the church filled the ancient city where Jesus was falsely accused, executed, and raised from the dead. And we can also read multiple accounts of the same thing in Acts, of the Lord's adding to the church's numbers daily. In Luke and in Acts, we find I'm going to say it's the allergy medication today. We find more than just a few comments about daily requests and daily comments of adding daily. We have to deny ourselves, take up our cross daily, and follow Jesus in 9:23. Jesus teaches and prays, tells us to pray for our bread daily in 11:3. The disciples saw Jesus teaching in the temple every single day in 1942, or 47 rather. The first church created a system of daily distribution of bread to the widows in need in Acts 6:1. The Bereans were declared noble because they were committed to study the scriptures daily in Acts 17:11. Paul, for a time, evangelized in the hall of Trianus. Daily, he evangelized there in Acts 19:9. I think it would be safe to say that the Lord added to the numbers daily because his witnesses shared daily. Peter, in this book, The Power of the 72 that we've been using, says, if we take off the religious lenses that over-spiritualize conversations, we see the basic premise of giftedness develop. The 72 and all the New Testament evangelists that follow saw daily conversions because they were faithful witnesses every single day. Faithful witnesses every single day. We go to work, we do our jobs every day. We feed ourselves and our children every day. We pray every day. Why would we not do the work of the kingdom every day to fulfill the Lord's harvest every day? If we do believe that God has commanded us to tell others about Jesus Christ, then it is our duty to do so. Today, I want to give us some basic handles so that we can add to the Lord's number daily. To be ready, there is preparation that meets opportunity. The 72 were ready when the door was open for opportunity. They could never predict when the moment of spiritual openness was ready for them. So we must be ready in and out of season to be like the 72. And they must be ready to, so we must be ready to talk about Jesus and God, heaven, the Bible, whatever else, whenever that opportunity arises for us. You never know when that is going to happen. Now, being prepared includes praying. It includes prayer. Luke 10, 1 and 2 said, after the Lord appointed the 72 and sent them out by two ahead of him to every town and place where he was about to go, he told them, the harvest is plentiful, but the workers are few. Ask the Lord of the harvest, therefore, to send out workers into the harvest field. Ask the Lord of the harvest. He prayed specifically that God, the Lord of the harvest, would send out workers. Are you listening to God's call? Are you listening for that whisper? In your life, is there a quiet place where you can go and just listen for God and talk to him and say, here I am. Today I'll do whatever you ask. I'll speak to whoever you direct me to. I'll serve anyone who comes across my path. Even if you pray, God, I have no idea what to do. I have no idea what to say, but if you put somebody in front of me today, I'll do it. God will honor that prayer. God will honor your effort. And you may be surprised at who will show up and what you will be able to do and what you will be able to say just because you are willing. We need prayer and we need to have faith. Faith that God will do what he has promised to do. In verse 4, Jesus told his disciples not to take any money. He told the 72 not to take any money, not to take any travel bags, not to take any sandals. Jesus sent out the 72 on this journey just with faith, so that they might learn that God provides completely. This element of faith, when God calls, he will equip, he will provide, he will bless all the details you will need. Sometimes it's just buying a cup of coffee, lunch, or even just talking about something totally unrelated. Talking about football, gardening, cars, diapers, anything. But it becomes something else. He will give you the words. If needed, he'll give you the scriptures. Remember, you are not saving this person. God does that. You are just the conduit from which God is using to do the work. Just telling them about the God you know, love, and serve. Inviting them to come to the cross and meet the Jesus who knows you and wants to know them. So be prepared for opportunities. And with that, some of us need to change the way we think, because can't means won't. The 72 don't stop at can't. Too often we stop and say, I can't, and we miss out on opportunities altogether. We miss out on great adventures. We let fear stop us. But we must push through the can'ts. It is one thing when we model our behavior after other believers in our church and try to fit in, but sometimes it's another thing altogether to transform into the likeness of Christ. That transformation starts with our thinking, and then it moves to our heart, where it begins to take shape and mold us permanently into what God has intended us to be. Proverbs 23:7, as man thinks, so he is. That scripture is so true in so many ways. Is the glass half full or is it half empty? In any given circumstance we face, our own view of it will determine the direction and our response. Our thinking will bring to light what we feel inside, it's worry, despair, our confidence, and our hope. James Allen, who many consider to be the founder of the self-help movement, wrote, "A man is literally what he thinks, his character being the complete sum of all his thoughts." Interesting. Be prepared for opportunities. Remove can't from our vocabulary, and remember, someone is always working harder. We must dedicate ourselves to hard work. There's no shortcuts to personal evangelism. The 72 knew evangelism was very hard. We also know that someone, somewhere in the world, is working hard. The devil is always working very hard. It is a choice to work hard at our craft. Whatever it is we do, in our jobs, whatever it is, we work very hard. And we must work hard at our call to be evangelists. We know character is a product of more than just our thoughts. The values we hold dear and how we implement them into our lives and relationships is very key. The vision and mission and purpose of how our lives, of our lives, and how we are guided and directed by God also builds character. Paul writes in Romans 12, "Therefore I urge you, brothers and sisters, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God. This is your true and proper worship." It all starts with our mind, and it flows from there to every aspect of who we are. And the world sees that and is impacted by that. So prepare for opportunities. Remove can't from our vocabulary. Remember that someone is always working harder. And finally, it doesn't become easy doing it just once. Do it 100 times in a row. Being one of the 72 is not a one-time shot or a one great moment in time kind of thing. It's a process of repeating it over and over and over. I remember going through the process of teaching my oldest daughter how to shoot. And over a short amount of time, we worked our way up in rifle calibers. And when we were getting ready for deer hunting season, I brought out my new 270 for her to shoot. And the first shot, she hit the center dot. And like any good, encouraging father, I said, "Lucky shot, do it again." And again, she hit the center dot. To which I said, "Do it again." And the third time, she hit the center dot. Nice, little, tight grouping. And then I said, "Fine. The lesson is over. You keep shooting, I'm going to go sit over here." She knew how to shoot from all the times we had shot before and all the other rifles. She knew how to breathe. She knew how to pull the trigger. So even though this was a different rifle that she'd never shot before, she had the basics that she could adapt, she could try, and she could succeed. We must train to create ministry habits that bear fruit daily. The story of the 72 ends with rejoicing. These disciples returning, and they were pumped, and all 36 teams returned with joy. Not half of them, not 75% of them, but all. And despite that, many of them had pain at some obvious point during their missionary journey that they experienced, all returned with joy. They were full of joy and enthusiasm, celebrating because of the work. Ministry happened. People were healed. They were set free. They heard and accepted the message that Jesus and the kingdom of God was near. You know, 2,000 years later, nothing has really changed. It still works. Now, our methods are different. Culture is different. Activities are different. But Jesus is still the same. Jesus still heals. He still sets people free. Jesus still forgives. Jesus still fills people with forgiveness and love and purpose and significance. Jesus still works out. Jesus still works out at with his disciples, with you and with me. And he sends us. He gives us gifts us gifts. He gives us resources. He gives us opportunities to lead people one step closer to him. And when we use those gifts and embrace those opportunities, we see the same result. And we return with joy because we saw God do some incredible, amazing things. Let's pray together. Lord, be with us. Help us to open our hearts to be like the 72. Place us in opportunities. Grant us the opportunities and the places and to change the world around us. Give us strength to risk being the people you have called us to be. To open up, Lord, and to tell our neighbors and to tell our friends, to tell anyone you lead us to, Lord, about the saving grace of your Son. Give us the words we need at those times, Lord, to be like the 72. May we find at the end of each day, Lord, that we are filled with chara because of all we have witnessed, all that has been done in your name. Amen.